Good morning. It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, and that means it's time for North by Northeast, conversations that matter to Northeast Texas. I'm your host, Mark Haslett. We have an interesting conversation in store for you today. There's a couple of themes that we'll be addressing. One is a story that happened out in the world. The WNBA's Dallas Wings, along with other WNBA teams, unveiled some special jerseys this year, and as is the case sometimes, the jersey fell flat. There were some issues. We'll hear all about that. And we're also going to hear the story within the story, what it is like to be in the middle of a social media controversy, or what it is like to have a tweet or a post go viral. We'll be discussing all of this with Jasmine Baker. She is a Texas A&M University Commerce alumna, as well as a KETR alumna. She helped KETR cover the Lions for a little while here back in the day, and I think we have Jasmine on the line right now. Jasmine, are you there?
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. And Jasmine, since leaving here, she's been involved in sports journalism. She's down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area these days. Right now, she's working in communications for a North Texas school district, but she's also been a beat writer for the WNBA's Dallas Wings. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Women's National Basketball Association, it's a national league. It's been around here for a long time, and they're about to celebrate their 25th anniversary. And so, Jasmine, could you tell us about this jersey rollout that kind of got this whole story started? What's the deal with Nike and the WNBA jerseys? Could you just kind of start at the beginning and tell us what happened with the Wings and this particular jersey?
Sure. Like you said, the WNBA is celebrating its 25th year. Nike decided, along with the WNBA, to do a rollout. Each team, the 12 teams, each team received 3 jerseys. And one of the jerseys in particular was called the Rebel Edition. And the Rebel Edition really paid homage to the city or the state in which the team was located in. So each team had its own story behind that particular jersey. A lot of them were well-received. So when it came down to the Dallas Wings jersey, the Rebel Edition jersey, a lot of people were not feeling it. There was talk about it looked too military-like. There was definitely a look and feel of a military plane. And that was part of the story, was that it was, there was an organization called WASP, W-A-S-P, and it was a unit that consisted of only, majority white, affluent women at that time. And black women were exclusively excluded from it. And that's really where the controversy started as far as that jersey was concerned. And I was the one that brought attention to black women were excluded from this particular unit. I felt like you can recognize WASP, which is a whole nother issue within itself in terms of the name. You can recognize that organization just fine, but to ask a group of black women to put that on their backs and wear that jersey proudly, you're going to run into some problems with a few people.
And that's exactly what happened. The jersey itself, it's the Dallas Wings. Their team colors are navy and lime green. And like a lot of these specialty jerseys, they depart from the team's usual color palette. It's an olive drab jersey, and the center graphic is a U.S. military roundel. It's the old World War I, World War II roundel with the white star on the blue field with the red dot in the middle. And just to clarify, the Women's Air Force Service Pilots Corps, known by its acronym WASP, was a segregated unit. Black women did apply to the program that this jersey commemorates, but they were not accepted. So obviously you have a disconnect with a league. The majority of the players and perhaps fans are black women, and you have a segregated unit that is being recognized with this specialty jersey. So that's where the problem came from. So Jasmine, before we talk about what happened with this conversation, could you give a little bit of context about your history with the Wings before you started? You were covering the Wings for a while.
Yes, I've been covering the Wings since 2018. You know, after I got a great foundation at KUTR, I decided to start covering professional sports. And I knew that the Wings would be a great opportunity, considering it's a summer league, to go ahead and do that. So since 2018, I've been covering the Wings, and past couple of years, I decided to just cover the league in general. But obviously, due to my proximity to Dallas, I've just been, you know, keeping up with the Wings still. And that's really kind of been the, I guess, my history with the Wings. I've never worked for them. I think that at some point people have been confused because I've just advocated so much for the team that it, I guess it kind of came across that I worked for them, but that's never been the case. But yeah.
Okay. So this jersey, when it came out, you already had, based on your history of covering the Wings, you had an audience on Twitter. Jasmine is on Twitter at WeGotGame2. And so when you posted about this situation where you're like, hey, this it's fine if we want to honor women in the military, but this is probably not the best choice for that. What happened with that tweet, and what snowball built after that tweet went viral?
Sure. After the tweet, I believe it was the same day. It may have been the same day or the next day. It was a weird 48 hours. Because literally the next morning, I saw where, because I had been talking to other colleagues about it, and I told one of my colleagues, I said, they're not going to pull the jerseys. They invested too much money into it. You know, I didn't think they'd do it. Mm-hmm. But sure enough, the next morning I saw where a fan had said they canceled my order. And normally when they cancel an order, they've either sold out or they've pulled something. They rarely pull something. Rarely does Nike pull anything. So I thought to myself, I know they didn't sell out because people cannot stand the look and feel of this jersey. So I believe I looked kind of around on social media to see, you know, how many other people had mentioned, you know, my order was canceled. So after that, at that point, I started getting a better feel of, like, sense of, okay, I still don't have a confirmation, but I'm pretty sure they pulled this jersey. And of course, when I went online to the different retailers, including the Nike website, none of them were on there. Now, mind you, Nike had three jerseys. I'm only talking about one. All three of them were pulled. So at that point, I just was like, okay, this may have happened. So at that point, I stated that it looks like Nike has pulled the jerseys, but no, there has not been a statement issued yet. And, you know, generally it's all speculation until there's a statement given. And I want to say at that point, the Time Magazine reached out about a few comments about it. And so I ended up speaking with Time Magazine. From there, once the article was published, I believe the next day, intentional. I think the league and Nike were trying to figure out what they were going to do between trying to figure out what they were going to do. I think they also tried to bury the story by making sure their statement came out that Friday. So they issued a statement about it. I couldn't I couldn't remember all of what was said, but basically they said they decided to pull the jersey because of, you know, new information. From there, I got a few more media requests, Dallas Morning News, Yahoo Magazine, ESPN, they all covered the story. So
I'm looking at a Sports Illustrated post right now that mentions you.
Okay. Yes, they also covered it.
Yeah. So it got picked up by Time, ESPN, Sports Illustrated. So in other words, when you began this conversation about the jersey, it wasn't necessarily your intent to get attention from national media. You were just commenting on a WNBA related story, which is something that you typically do. So
in other words,
you didn't have a sense of anxiety of, oh my God, this is going to go viral and it's going to be horrible. Or you didn't have a sense of anticipation of, oh, this is going to go viral and it's going to be awesome. You were just doing what you do, and the attention from national media came as a surprise.
Yes, very much so. And I think that I'm quite curious as to why they, like, what ultimately, I think it was a Nike decision. I can't say for certain. It's all speculation, but I'm pretty sure it was a Nike decision to pull it. I think the attention from Time Magazine definitely escalated things. I don't know what they would have done had Time Magazine not reached out, but I'm glad that they did. It's unfortunate given how excited fans, including myself, were about, you know, the whole jersey drop. I think fans already felt like they had failed, the Wings had failed on their assignment even before that news had come out that I published. But, I mean, anybody who follows me on social media knows I give my perspective and my just a realness about women's sports that I think needs to be heard, because it's not all sunshine and rainbows that people try to make it out to be. And I'm like, there needs to be accountability at the end of the day, especially by the Dallas Wings, because they've consistently failed in a lot of areas over the past few seasons, especially since they moved to Dallas in 2016. So it's all about checks and balances, because to simply not do a 10-second Google search is disappointing, to say the least. And to see that three different entities were involved, major entities that have enough resources, botch this whole situation, it's not fair to fans. First and foremost, it's just not fair to fans. And it's not fair to Mariah Jefferson, who's a guard for the team, to have been, you know, obviously photographed in this jersey. And now that photo is out there. I think Nike has tried to do a good job of scrubbing the internet for these photos, but they're still out there. And I really hope the team and other people have apologized to her, because it's just shameful what they've done.
So you have a very large entity, Nike, and then you have another couple of pretty good sized organizations, the WNBA and the Dallas Wings, and they all put their heads together and they came out with this, and it was unsuccessful. When we were talking yesterday, you and I, Jasmine, we had a little bit of a conversation in advance of today's mm-hmm. program, and you were telling me that you learned that there actually was an effort within the Wings organization to tap the brakes on this whole process, and that warning call was disregarded. So could you describe what you know about that dynamic?
I'm sorry. I don't understand the question. Repeat that one more time.
Well, apparently within the Dallas Wings, there was somebody within the Wings organization who said, hey, I've got a bad feeling about this. But that voice was not acknowledged, and the process went forward anyway.
Well, I more so speculated that. I have no proof of that.
Okay.
What I more so was saying is that I think sometimes that's what happens, is people speak up and their voice isn't heard because they're too busy trying to, at least what comes across is they're trying to focus on focusing on women and this riding this feminist empowerment movement, but they don't include all women when it comes to that. And that's why I speculated it happened. But, you know, it's pretty typical in women's sports. DC, the Washington Mystics, they won about two seasons ago in the WNBA, and theirs was very similar in that they had the 13th Amendment, I believe it was the 13th Amendment, that allows women to vote. And they did not do their due diligence, at least what I felt like, because at that time only white women could vote. Why would you put that on a jersey? Things like that. You know, a lot of people were not happy about the decision that was made as far as that was concerned. And they still went along with it because they put out a release or a statement talking about, we understand what happened, but at the same time, this is the decision we decided to make. And I still feel like that shouldn't have happened either. So it's these type of missteps that I'm just like, I don't understand how this continues to happen, but at the same time, I know it is. And if people are not going to listen to those individuals, but they want to put BLM on everything, then what does it really matter if you're not advocating on a practical level? It just doesn't make sense.
Right, right. I mean, even if you're going for image, and you're not concerned so much about the reality behind the image, even from an image-only standpoint, that inconsistency people are going to notice for sure. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the foundational issues that are behind all of this, and we look forward to that. This is North by Northeast. I'm Mark Haslett. We're visiting with Jasmine Baker. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You're with 88.9 KETR in Commerce. You're with 88.9 KETR in Commerce. It's 9:20, and you're listening to North by Northeast, conversations that matter to Northeast Texas. I'm Mark Haslett. We're visiting with Jasmine Baker this morning. She's a DFW area sports journalist talking about the recent kerfuffle controversy with the WNBA's Dallas Wings. They, not to mix our sports metaphors, but they definitely had a swing and a miss with this jersey. And Jasmine, I'm looking at this Time Magazine article where you're quoted and they describe the whole issue. And I agree with you what you said a few minutes ago, where Time picking it up really gave this story a little bit more exposure and weight, because we're getting out of the world of just sports journalism particularly and getting into just straight up news. And Time spoke with a history professor at Dartmouth. His name's Matthew Delmont. And he said that the military unit recognized by this jersey was different from most other U.S. military organizations during that time, because the quote here says, what stands out is that they excluded black women entirely. While the rest of the military and auxiliary services were segregated, they at least allowed African Americans to participate. That wasn't the case with this particular unit, and that made it a bad choice for a WNBA team. So, Jasmine, I want to talk a little bit about the media landscape and the fan landscape in women's sports, because when you're talking about some of your top tier leagues like the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, they typically have news organizations devoting lots and lots of resources to covering those leagues, not just the games, but the stories that go along with the games. When it comes to things like the WNBA, typically you have a beat reporter who covers the games themselves, but that's a full-time job if you're doing it properly. So as far as covering the business side, the PR side, the cultural side, some other behind-the-scenes stuff, you don't really see that so much. But the flip side to that is that you have the communities built around social media. And so these communities can sometimes step in and fill that watchdog role or that auxiliary forum role where the conversations that might have been started by a reporter end up getting started on social media and having a life that way. And that seems to be what happened here. So what is the culture of WNBA Twitter like? Does it feel like the rest of the sports world? Does it feel like a community? Are there factions within it? So could you talk a little bit about WNBA Twitter and social media and just what it's like in the world of women's sports and social media? Could you describe what your experiences have been with it?
I feel like if it were not for WNBA Twitter, the league in a lot of ways would not be where it's at right now in terms of its popularity. People talk about NBA Twitter, and WNBA Twitter has had this very much like a cult-like following over the years. And having been one of those voices within WNBA Twitter, it's definitely a responsibility because, you know, it dawned on me one day that people were actually like listening and cared about what we were talking about when a player corrected me about something. And I was like, oh, okay. So I think it was one of those things that has happened organically. And as far as how it's translated with women's sports overall, you have found that a lot of us have, when you talk about full-time, most of the writers in WNBA Twitter space are writers and they write full-time, but they don't write full-time for the WNBA. They find other opportunities with other leagues, women's leagues, and a lot of us just have invested in women's sports. Sure, men's sports pays the bills, but women's sports pays the bills too. It's just you're going to have to put in a lot more work. And so a lot of us find our audiences and our support on WNBA Twitter or women's sports Twitter. And I think it's where a lot of fans are learning, especially new fans that are coming in and are learning a lot more probably than they would have on versus following ESPN. ESPN has lagged for a long time in terms of, sure, they show the games, but in terms of the content, a lot of us are covering sneakers, we're covering culture, we're covering what players are doing during their off time. We're talking about what players are investing in. So there's a lot more as far as content going on Twitter and how fans are interacting with players and how players are interacting with fans. It's all on Twitter. Obviously you have Instagram as well, but it's essentially where people are coming to get their information in real time, like any other league. And like I said, I really think it's one of the reasons why the league is where how it's grown as fast as it has. And because for a long time, there's been a lot of gatekeeping in women's sports, and you have a lot more diversity and young, fresh voices now in the league, or in women's sports in general on Twitter. That other fans can relate to, that for a long time they haven't. And so, I really saw a void in the cultural space, and I really have just, like I said, taken my responsibility to make sure that whatever I'm putting out there is not only useful to fans, but also entertaining to fans as well.
It sounds like there's a fun aspect because there's the community and you get to connect with people, but it also sounds like there's a bit of gravitas in the situation as well, because if you put yourself out there as a voice, that means that you have the accountability that goes with it.
Yeah.
And so you have to be careful. We're short on time. We're just got about a couple of minutes left. We're going into Texas Matters at 9:30 here on KTR. But before we're done, I want you to, if you would, what is something that has been fulfilling about the experience of being involved with WNBA media, WNBA Twitter, the community? I know that there have been some difficult moments, but what's been something that you've got out of it that keeps you going through the difficult times when it starts to be frustrating? What are some of those good moments that keep you coming back?
There's a lot that's rewarding, but it's definitely been the sense of community and the sisterhood I've gained with other women who cover the league, or individuals who are in the sports industry, particularly other Black and Brown women, because we all are still very much fighting an uphill battle in terms of covering sports. But just having that, the type of support, it's been invaluable. And I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love that people are very supportive, because I keep saying the fans, I speak for a lot of the fans. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why the tweet ended up going viral, because so many people resonate with so many people. So there's definitely that sense of community. But don't get me wrong, this is the 25th anniversary, and I very much feel passionate, just as I did when I was a child and I was first watching the Houston Comets dominate. So I highly encourage everybody to get out to a game this season if they can, follow a team if you're not, and, you know, enjoy the WNBA. It's great basketball.
It is. It's lots of fun, and you can get that hoops fix in the summertime with the WNBA. Yes. Jasmine Baker is on Twitter at WeGotGame2. That's numeral 2. And later today, we'll have this conversation posted at KETR.org. Jasmine, I want to ask you a brief favor. You can post on your Twitter account at some point some of those other voices that you mentioned, some of the other WNBA accounts, if you want to post their handles as well, so that folks who follow you can follow them also, and we can build that community.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the support, Mark.
You bet, Jasmine. Thanks for visiting with us. This has been North by Northeast here on 88.9 KETR. Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio in San Antonio is next.